the Bibliography of American History, of the American Libraries Association, for example, and Mr. Neild's Guide to Historical Fiction. And what are not done, he would commission good men to do for him. Suppose he had to commission 40 such guides altogether, and that they cost him on the average £500 each, for he would take care not to sweat their makers, then that would add another £20,000 to his expenditure. But if he was going to found 400 libraries, let us say, that would only be £50 a library, a very trivial addition to his expenditure. The rarer books mentioned in these various guides would remind him, however, of the many even his ample limit of 20,000 forced him to exclude, and he would, perhaps, consider the need of having 2 or 3 libraries each for the storage of 100,000 books or so not kept at the local libraries, but which could be sent to them at a day's notice at the request of any reader. And then, and only then, would he give his attention to the housing and staffing that this reality of books would demand. Being a philosopher and no fool, he would draw a very clear, hard distinction between the reckless endowment of the building trade and the dissemination of books. He would distinguish, too, between a library and a newsroom, and would find no great attraction in the prospect of supplying the national youth with free but thumby copies of the sixpenny magazines.